Well, good evening. Thank you all for coming along this evening, and I wonder if I can ask you right at the beginning of our service, did that last hymn that we were singing, do you know that happy day when Jesus washed my sins away? Now I'm sure you all know that 100 years ago tonight, the nation was in one of its greatest rejoicing evenings of all time. The news had spread that the war was over, peace had broken out, and in every city and in every town and in every village, the people were rejoicing. 4.5 years, 4 years and 4 months of carnage, destruction, death like the world had never seen had come to an end. And I wonder if tonight you are able to rejoice over something that is even greater. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. You know, if you were to be saved tonight, if you were to become a Christian, there would be rejoicing in heaven. For the Lord Jesus said that there is joy among the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And so I ask you, do you know anything of that happy day? We're going to turn to our Bible in a short time. But before that, we've got to mention, have we not, that 100 years ago the armistice was signed. The discussions, the talks had gone on throughout the night in a railway carriage in France. And eventually at 5 o'clock in the morning, Germany signed the armistice, an agreement that would silence the guns of World War I. It is unfortunate that history tells us that the humiliating and hard terms enforced upon Germany simply proved to be the seed plot for a further great world war within 20 years. Across our nation today, there have been many services of remembrance, and in many places a verse from the Bible will have been quoted. The words of the Lord Jesus, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know, the Bible tells us of a love that surpasses that. A love that is greater than that. It is the love of God. It is divine love. And the verse we're having as our text tonight, I want to stick in your mind, is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And it says this, but God commendeth his love towards us. You might be asking, when did God show this love for us? Why were we the objects of divine love? Well, we're going to read down some verses in Romans 5 in a few moments, and we're going to find that 3 things are highlighted. It says in verse 6 that this love of God for us was when we were yet without strength. It says in verse 8, while we were yet sinners. It says in verse 10, when we were enemies. And the amazing thing, the wonderful story of the love of God is, it was at this point that God commendeth his love towards us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is amazing. And it is something that we do well to remember, the great love and sacrifice of fallen men and women in these great wars to maintain the freedom of our nation. But even more amazing, the love of God in that Christ died for us. Christ died for me. Christ died for you while we were yet sinners. Can I just draw your attention, just as we begin our consideration this evening, to two of the many thousands of soldiers that fought in World War I, although of one of them, fought is probably not the correct term. The first is a man called Henry Nicholas John Gunther, an American soldier born into a German-American family in 1895 in Baltimore in the state of Maryland. When America declared war and joined the Great World War in April 2017, because of his background, a German-American, he did not rush to volunteer like many of his fellows. But in September 1917, Henry Gunther was drafted. He joined a unit, a regiment that became known as Baltimore's Own. And in July 2018, he reached France. In September 2018, he was on the front line in the Western Front. On the morning of November the 11th, Henry Gunther's regiment and unit were still fighting hand-to-hand conflict. As his unit moved along a road, as it drew near to 11 a.m., the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, when the guns would fall silent, they were faced by a roadblock manned by two German machine gun posts. Against the orders that were given, Henry Gunther rose and charged the enemy machine gun posts. The German soldiers, well aware that the armistice had been signed, tried to wave him away and make him go back, but he went on, firing shots as he approached the German posts. As he got very close, a short burst of automatic fire, and he was killed outright. The time of his death was 10:59 a.m. on Monday, the 11th of November. He is famous in that he is the last recorded soldier to die in World War I. Why did he do it? The war was almost over. The victory had been won. Peace had been agreed. Nothing more needed to be done. Why did he do it? His comrades mentioned later that he had become obsessed, determined to make good before his officers and fellow soldiers. King David in the Bible said of a man called Abner, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." I wonder if spiritually you are a bit like Henry Nicholas Gunther. You know, you have heard the gospel message many times. You know that the Lord Jesus, by his death on the cross, has won the victory. The penalty for sin is paid in full. Nothing more that you can do, nothing more that you need to do, but accept a work that has been done. Peace with God has been made possible. But still, are you like so many who are trying their best to impress God, doing their best to win his favor when all the time all has been done? All the time the way has been made open, and yet men and women are dying with no hope, not having accepted the victory, having acknowledged the work of the Lord Jesus. Henry Nicholas John Gunther, the last recorded soldier to die in World War I. The second soldier is a man called William Harold Coltman. The most decorated non-commissioned officer from World War I, a Lance Corporal. One of his many awards was the Victory Cross that was presented to him by King George V in 1919. And yet, what is so amazing about the most decorated soldier in World War I is that he never fired a shot in anger. You see, William Coltman was a Christian. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus, and he refused to take up arms to kill his fellow men, but he volunteered as a stretcher bearer. And he served in the North Staffordshire Regiment and was involved in many of the horrendous conflicts of World War I. His various medals noticed his conspicuous bravery, initiative, devotion to duty. On numerous occasions and at great risk to his own life, he would go forward into no man's land in the face of enemy fire to treat and to carry wounded soldiers to safety. The story of his life is told in a book, The Story of Two Crosses. The Victoria Cross, yes, but more important to William Coltman, as he showed in his life and what motivated his sacrificial actions in war, the cross of the Lord Jesus. The cross where the Lord Jesus had died, paying the penalty for sins. For William Coltman's sins. For my sins. For your sins. And he showed in a little way the sacrificial love of his Lord. And he spent his war seeking to be a help and seeking to rescue his fellow men from such terrible conditions. And he sought to share with them an even greater escape that was possible, as found in the Bible. William Harold Coltman. So we're going to think now of the gospel message that motivated this man, William Harold Coltman. We're going to think of the cross that meant so much to him, that motivated his life. We're going to think or draw our illustration or an example from a character we find in the Old Testament, a character with a rather unusual name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, and you'll find the story, if you have a Bible, in 2 Samuel and chapter 9. And if you want to follow the reading, that is where you'll find it. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Let me very briefly pen in the background. We're thinking again at the end of a war. It has been a civil war that has raged for many years, and it has now come to an end, and David is now seated on the throne. The house of David, having been successful in the civil war, and the house of Saul was defeated. And that's where we're picking up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David is on the throne. The years of fighting have been successful. The victory is his. The throne is his. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And then finally, just the last verse. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. A son of the house of Saul, the enemy of the king, and yet we find him continually seated at the king's table. And if you turn over to Romans 5, the verses we mentioned earlier, and again we're going to just read a few verses from the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his Christian friends in the great city of Rome. And we're going to think in these verses of another conflict. A conflict between God and men, although the conflict is all on our side. And we're going to think of the love of God as demonstrated and as we can see illustrated in a small way in the actions of David towards Mephibosheth. The first verse of the chapter says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 6, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. I said already that the verse I would like you to remember and take away with you, if nothing else sticks in your mind, is verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We read in 2 Samuel in chapter 9 about Mephibosheth. And we read of how the king had said, He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. How could this be? Mephibosheth said of himself, Such a dead dog as I am. And you're going to see in the next 10 or 15 minutes what a wonderful picture this is of what God offers you and what God offers me. An invitation to become one of his sons, to eat at his table, to have a home in heaven. How could this be? You see, Mephibosheth, well, he was from the wrong family. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says of us, when we were enemies, the wrong family. We're going to see that Mephibosheth was in the wrong condition. And in verse 8, our text, we notice that while we were yet sinners, and we too are in the wrong condition. And we're going to see that Mephibosheth was in the wrong place. And verse 6 of our chapter in Romans says that when we were yet without strength, helpless and hopeless, in the wrong place, and yet, God loved us. The wrong family. Mephibosheth, he belonged to the house of Saul. Saul had been the previous king and he had been killed on the battlefield. There then followed civil war in Israel for the right to the throne. War between the house of David, God's anointed king, and the house of Saul. The war raged for years and David triumphed. Mephibosheth was a son of the house of Saul, a competitor for the throne, an enemy. But David reached out to him in love and kindness. You and I are also from the wrong family. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 tells us that we were enemies. Enemies of God. You see, we are children of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, our first parents, had rebelled against their creator God and had disobeyed him. This resulted in them being separated from God at enmity with him. And as children of Adam and Eve, we are born into the wrong family. A family that is at enmity with God. A family that is separated from the Creator. And yet, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we read that it was possible to have peace with God. Mephibosheth was also in the wrong condition. We read that he was lame in both his feet. We read elsewhere that it was when he was only 5 years old that his nurse had dropped him and leaving him lame in both his feet. Hardly the condition to be fit for the king's table. And yet David the king said, "Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually," from the wrong family. A poor, crippled boy, and yet, "Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." You know, we too are in the wrong condition for heaven. In the book of Revelation, right at the very end of our Bible and almost the last chapter, we read of heaven, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." And Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that God's love was demonstrated to us while we were yet sinners. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. Every one of us as children of Adam and Eve are born with a sinful nature, a nature with a natural bias to do wrong, to disobey the commandments of God, to sin. And as such, as sinners, we are in no fit condition for heaven and for the presence of God, but God loved us. And Christ died for us while we were sinners, while we were enemies with God. The love of God reached out to us. Mephibosheth was also in the wrong place. When David called him, he was in Lodibar, far from Jerusalem and far from the king's palace, east of the Jordan River. The name of the place can mean without pasture. There was no hope in Lodibar. It was far off. There was no pasture, and yet we read in 2 Samuel chapter 9 that David sent and fetched him. The king reached out to him that was far off, that was without hope, that was in the wrong place. And we too are in the wrong place. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us that we were yet without strength. We were far off from God, although God is not far from us. No pasture. Nothing to give lasting satisfaction and joy. No hope, without strength to help ourselves. Without hope of getting back to God and dealing with our sin. And yet, it was when we were in this place, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Is that not an amazing story? Mephibosheth from the wrong family, in the wrong place and in the wrong condition, and yet we find him in the palace. We find him at the king's table continually. While Mephibosheth was in Lodibar, a crippled boy, in the family that was at enmity with the king, in the palace, the thought of the king was that I may show the kindness of God unto him. The kindness of the king reached out. King David sent and fetched him. And the king said, thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth, sitting at the king's table, undeserved. He was from the wrong family. He was an enemy. Mephibosheth, sitting at the king's table, it was unmerited. He was in the wrong condition. He was a poor, lame boy. Nothing about him merited the love and kindness of the king. Mephibosheth at the king's table, it was unheeded. He was in the wrong place. He was without strength. He was unable to help himself, and yet the king had said that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan, he was the son of King Saul. He was the prince destined for the throne. Jonathan, the father of Mephibosheth. Jonathan, killed on the battlefield at his father's side. Jonathan, a great friend and devoted friend of David. David had said concerning this man, very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. The love and kindness of the king to Mephibosheth was on account of what Jonathan had done. What about us? Amazing love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In heaven, God took note of us. God took note of you and me. We who were enemies. We who were sinners. We who were without strength. John writes in his first little letter, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You know, God's love for me and God's love for you is undeserved. We were from the wrong family. We were at enmity with God. God's love for you and for me was unmerited. We were and are in the wrong condition. We are sinners. We have fallen short of God's standard. God's love for you and me is unheeded. We are in the wrong place, without strength, far off from God, unable to help ourselves, without hope, and yet he loved us. He loved you and he loved me. He was willing to reach out and fetch us. He was willing to reach out and place us in his home in heaven. How can this be? How can it be that you and I, as enemies, as sinners, without strength, have the possibility of peace with God and a home in heaven? The answer is given four times over in the verses we read in Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The love of God to us is because of what the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, has done. He took our place. He died on our behalf. He bore the penalty, the punishment due to you and me for sin. Peter puts it like this, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Do you want to know peace with God? Do you want to know healing and forgiveness of sins? All you need to do is come to God through the Lord Jesus, confessing your sin and trusting him to save. You know, the treaty terms are for peace are not hard. They're not humiliating like the armistice signed 100 years ago today were. And the outcome is far, far better. God expects nothing of us but to come to him in faith. The Lord Jesus has done it all. The victory over sin has been won. Nothing more for you and I to do. God is coming out in love, and all we need to do is believe, to trust, to accept, to come to him confessing sin, and we will have peace with God, and you will know something of what our hymn was saying of that happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And it will create joy in heaven when just one sinner repents. I finish again by just quoting that little verse that I would like you to take away with you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Perhaps you can take time just to sing two verses of 283. 283, we will then take just a moment to commend ourselves to God in prayer, and then the service is completely over. We'll sing together verses 1 and 3, just keeping our seats, of 283. I will go, I cannot stay, from the arms of love away. Oh, for strength of faith to say, Jesus died for me. Verses 1 and 3, just keeping our seats, of 283.
Jesus, I want.
just take a moment to pray. Our Father, Thou who art the Creator God, who made and uphold all things, we wonder and marvel and are amazed again to think of the love of God, that Thou in heaven could love us here on earth who were enemies at enmity with Thee, had sinned against Thee, were helpless and hopeless. And yet we think of how that love led Thee to give Thy Son to be the Saviour of the world. We thank Thee that Thou demonstrated Thy love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We do pray Thy blessing now on each one gathered. We think of how the Word of God has been read, and we pray that it may be a blessing to each one, and that all, as they leave the building today, may know something of that happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Saviour and my God. And so we commend ourselves to Thee now, in Jesus' name, Amen.
That's right. Yeah.